begins with the establishment of the covenant, the bris, and the oath on the observance of the Torah with the Jewish people. The second time it happened. The first time was by Har Sinai, where they entered the covenant with God on the fulfillment of the Torah, the observance of the Torah. And this time was added another dimension. Aside from the acceptance of the covenant, they also made an oath that they would be responsible one for the other. That people are not only responsible for themselves, but Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, they accepted the Arevus, the responsibility for others too. Question is, why was all this necessary? God can tell you to do what he wants. And if you listen, you get rewarded. And if you don't listen, you get punished. Why was it necessary for us to accept upon ourselves a covenant? Why didn't God just say, this is what I want you to do. Do it, I'll reward you. Don't do it, you get punished and finished. Why do we have to accept any kind of covenant? Why do we have to say anything? Just do it. And if you don't do it, you get punished. The Torah tells us the reason for the bris. It says the following. La'avrecha, I gathered you all together today. La'avrecha, to make you enter the bris Hashem. What's it called? La'avrecha b'vris Hashem Elokecha v'olasa, to enter you into this covenant and this oath, asher Hashem Elokecha koreish imcha yom, which God is creating this covenant with you today. Why? L'man hakim oscha hayom lo la'am, in order to make you into his people, v'hu yeh lecha l'Elohim, and he will be your God, kasher diber loch, like he told you already, v'kasher nishba l'avosechol Avraham l'Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and like he already swore to your forefathers Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. The idea being the following, that if it wouldn't be for a bris, there wouldn't be a covenant between us and God, and the Torah would merely be do it, you get rewarded, don't do it, you get punished, then first of all there would be no relationship between us and God. It's just a very informal, external relationship. And therefore, it's possible that if we didn't keep the Torah, we could be destroyed. And God would just leave us, and that would be the end. We'd be destroyed, and that would be the end. The bris creates a two-way covenant. It obligates us to God, and it obligates God to us. And in that way, we become his people, and he becomes our God eternally. And nothing can abrogate that covenant. And even if we don't keep the Torah, God will punish us, and he will do everything in his power to make sure that we come back and that we eventually do keep the Torah. Because the bris is eternal. And the Jewish people as a people are eternal, and our relationship with God is eternal, and that's based on the covenant that he made, the shvua, the oath he made with our forefathers, that he would never forsake them or their children. So in order to maintain that relationship with us, the relationship that he created with our forefathers and promised them that he would never forsake their descendants, that's the purpose of the covenant. The covenant makes a relationship between us and the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and that relationship is eternal. So it creates us as a people, the covenant, brings us together as one unified unit, and it gives us a connection, a relationship with God, which is eternal. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Bachya says that the purpose of the covenant is to make the Jewish people eternal and to guarantee our share in the world to come. Both of those things are guaranteed by the covenant. And we'll explain that in a few seconds. And therefore, it's very different than the seven mitzvahs that the Goyim have to keep, because there's no bris on that. There is merely a relationship that doesn't have any close relationship. This is what you have to do. If you do it, you get rewarded. If you don't do it, you don't get rewarded. You get punished. And conceivably, you could not do it and be destroyed. There's no relationship with God. It's merely, this is what you have to do. You do it, God will reward you. You don't do it, he'll punish you, and that's it. There's no ongoing eternal relationship on those seven mitzvahs. And even though there is a covenant that God made that he won't destroy the world, that is a covenant with the world in general, the same thing. That nothing will happen that will need the world to be destroyed again like it was by the flood. That's also a covenant. That the world will, God will see to it that the world will continue to exist. That is a covenant between God and the world in general. But there's a special covenant between God and the Jewish people, that the Jewish people will be eternal, and that we are guaranteed a share in the world to come as the Jewish people. Okay. And that's what it says in the Tochacha, in the rebuke in Parshas Bechukosai. It says, Va'afgam Zos, even after I punish you, and I exile you, and you're in the land of your enemies, and it seems like I've abandoned you. That's not the case. Lo ma'astim, I'm not disgusted with you. V'lo ga'altim, right? Another kind, I'm not abominated with you. L'chalosam, I'm not going to destroy you. L'hofer brisitam, I will not abrogate my covenant with you. Ki ani Hashem Elokeim, I made a covenant. And I am your God, you're my people. And that is eternal. So why all these punishments or whatever? Because if you don't keep the Torah, then the Rabbanu Shlom is going to do everything in his power to make sure that eventually, because of all the things he's going to bring upon us, we're going to end up doing tshuva and come back. So if this ensures our eternity. The purpose of the punishments is not to destroy us. We say that in the end of Eicha. Ki im mo'as mo'os ma'astanu. If God, you really are disgusted with us, katzafto aleinu ad ma'o, then you got too angry with us. Because if you're really disgusted with us, you could have just destroyed us. Why'd you have to bother for 2,000 years to exile us and to give us all of these trials and tribulations and sorrows? If you didn't like us and you hate us, destroy us. Must be that it's not to destroy us. It's not because you're disgusted, just the opposite. It's because you know that that relationship you created with us, that bris, is eternal. And to keep it eternal, there has to be some kind of reaction. If we're off the path, to get us back onto the path. And sometimes that's with very, very strong musar, tochacha, punishment, but it's not to destroy us. Just the opposite. It's to preserve us. And part of that bris, part of the insurance that will be an eternal nation, is the fact that we're responsible one for the other. If everybody would just be responsible for themselves, and it's possible that individuals will just go off the derech and be lost. But since all the nation are responsible one for the other, there's always going to be people who are going to be faithful and help to bring the other ones back. So since we're responsible, that also helps to ensure our eternity. And that's why this bris was made with all generations. It wasn't an individual thing that generation entered into a covenant with God. But it was a covenant that created the Jewish people, and the Jewish people is eternal. And just the faces change. But it's like a corporation, right? The corporation is an entity to itself. Who is part of that corporation changes from time to time, but the corporation doesn't change. That's why there's a concept of ein misa b'tzibur. Now, look, it's like this. If I did a sin, and I have to bring a sin offering, okay, or somebody has to bring a sin offering, and they die, then that sin offering is invalid. It's not brought by their children. It's possible. It has to die. It's a totally invalid, and the animal can't be used anymore for a sacrifice. Basically, it has to die. That's the halacha of achata shemesu ba'aleha. Achatos, a sin offering, that the owner of the sin offering died. So they say, if that's the case, then how can you ever bring a public sin offering? Every day we brought sacrifices, right, or musaf of yontif, we brought sacrifices, and part of them were sin offerings. And all the Jewish people are partners in that sin offering. So if anybody died that day, the sin offering is invalid. How can a sin offering ever, of a public sin offering, ever be okay? Somebody's always dying. The answer is that death doesn't affect a public sacrifice. Why? Because the sacrifice doesn't belong to individuals in a partnership. It belongs to the Jewish people as a people. And that people transcends any individual. It's not the individuals that own that sacrifice. It's Klal Yisrael, like a corporation. And therefore, all the members of the corporation don't own parts of this personally. They're part of the corporation, and the corporation owns it, and the corporation never changes. You can't have a corporation that dies. And even though individuals who are part of the corporation may die, the corporation remains static. Same thing. So therefore, the bris was made with the Jewish people. The Jewish people are constant. They're eternal. The past, present, future are all the same. They didn't accept it as individuals. The bris was made to create the Jewish people, give them eternity, and give us a share in the world to come as a nation. Therefore, it says, "Kol Yisrael yesh lohem chelek l'olam haba." Meaning, not all Jews have a share in the world to come, but the entirety of the Jewish people have a share in the world to come. Anyone who's part of the Jewish people has a share in the world to come. If you're not part of the Jewish people, you don't have a share. Even Goyim can be part of the Jewish people insofar that they attach themselves to us, not as converts, but as support system for the Jewish people. Those kind of Goyim who keep their seven mitzvahs and support the Jewish people morally, whatever it may be, right, and consider themselves supports of the Jewish people, are part of the, part of Klal Yisrael. They're not Jews, but they are supports of the Jewish people. And in that way, they're attached to the Jewish people. And because of that, they have a share in the world to come to. On the opposite, somebody who separates himself from the Jewish people loses his share in the world to come. That's why the Rambam says that one of the ways of losing your share in the world to come is by denying one of the principles of the bris. The 13 principles of faith, in my estimation, are the principles that create that covenant with God. If you deny one of those principles, then you're outside the covenant. The Rambam says like this: if a person is part of the Jewish people because he subscribes to the 13 principles of faith, and in my estimation, that means he accepts the covenant with God, then even if he sins, he'll be punished for his sins. He may have to go through Gehenna and a lot of terrible things, but in the end, he'll get a share in the world to come. But a person who rejects the covenant because he doesn't believe in one of these 13 principles, and the 13 principles are what create the covenant with God, then he loses his share in the world to come. And there's another way of losing your share in the world to come. You separate yourself from the Jewish people. You keep all the mitzvahs. You're a tzaddik. But you don't have a connection to the Jewish people. You separate yourself from the tzibur, and you say, I'm not interested in celebrating when they celebrate. I'm not interested in being happy for their good tidings. I'm not interested in mourning for their bad things. I'm doing it on my own. And you separate yourself from the community, from the Jewish people, you lose your share in the world to come. Even though you're a tzaddik. You do all the mitzvahs. You don't do anything wrong. But you only have, God created a covenant. Within that covenant, we have a share in the world to come. We have a share in the world to come as the corporation called Klal Yisrael. If you're part of that corporation, you have a share in the world to come. If you're not part of that corporation, you don't have a share in the world to come. You can separate yourself from that corporation either by denying one of the principles of the covenant or by deciding that you don't want to have a connection to the Jewish people. That is the idea. Therefore, the Pshat Shofar Hirsch explains a medrash that Rashi brings down. It says that since they were changing leaders, Moshe was dying. This is the last day of Moshe's life when this bris was made, when this covenant was made. And Yoshua was taking the reins of leadership. Since the leadership was changing, Moshe made them a matseva. Matseva really means a tombstone. But a matseva means a foundation for all the future. This was the bris. The bris created a foundation. This is the foundation of the Jewish people. And therefore, It doesn't depend on leaders. Leaders come and go. Those are individuals. But the corporation stands. And that's what the bris created. A matseva. What's a matseva? A tombstone? That even though a person died, he's not forgotten. He's eternal. He transcends time. Yes, he may be no longer here in this physical world, but he's part of the Jewish people, because the Jewish people are past, present, future, all the same. So that's why we put up a tombstone, to show that this is a foundation, eternal foundation. That's what happened this day. Moshe Rabbeinu, atem nitzavim hayom. You are an eternal foundation. And the fact that one leader dies and another one comes is irrelevant. Leaders come and go, but the Jewish people are eternal, and they don't change. They are constant and consistent, just the faces change, the bodies change. But the Jewish people, that entity called the Jewish people, is eternal. And that is also the idea of being responsible. Since we're one people and we're eternal, time, past, present, future, all are united, so all Jews are united. And because we're all united, we're responsible one for the other. And that's what Rashi means when he says in the beginning of the Seder the following. After the Jewish people heard all these curses and terrible calamities that will befall them if they don't keep the Torah, 98 klalos in this Sefer and another 49 in Vayikra, their faces turned green, Rashi says. And they said, how can anybody survive all of this? And Moshe Rabbeinu told them the following. Lemaisa, you're still around. And you angered God and did a lot of sins. Right? So don't worry. Now what Moshe Rabbeinu trying to do? Right? Take away God's thunder? God's warning them that if you don't keep the Torah, all these calamities will happen. And Moshe says, don't worry about it. You did all these terrible things, you're still around. What it means is, the purpose of these curses, the purpose of these calamities is not to destroy you. Just the opposite. It's to ensure that you'll be eternal. It's to get you back on the right path. It's to atone for your sins. Because if God didn't want you to be eternal, then he wouldn't go through all of this. He'd just destroy you. So all of these calamities and all of these curses and all of these terrible warnings are not to destroy you. Atem nitzavim. It just is there to make you be able to be eternal, to stand on your feet. And that made them feel good. The purpose isn't to destroy them. The purpose is to create this bris, this covenant. That's why Parshas Nitzavim always precedes Slichas. We always start Slichas, Motzoi, Shabbos, Nitzavim. Sometimes it's Nitzavim Vayelech, like this year. Sometimes it's Nitzavim, and it's 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And then there's another week of Vayelech before Rosh Hashanah. But the Parsha, whenever we read Parshas Nitzavim, that Motzei Shabbos, we start Slichas by Ashkenazim. And in fact, the Matei Moshe says that the words Atem Nitzavim Hayom has the same numerical value as Omdim L'Slichos. Why? Because Slicha depends, the fact that God will forgive us, it depends on the bris. Because we have a covenant with God, we are eternal. And therefore, we're always going to get forgiven. It may take a lot of punishment, a lot of terrible calamities, but in the end, there's going to be forgiveness because God has a relationship with us. Without that bris, there's no relationship. And therefore, if you do what's wrong, you're finished. But because there's an eternal relationship, you're never finished. So God is always going to ensure that no matter how bad we are, he's going to do that which is necessary to bring us back. To bring us back on the path. And again, that is what the Rambam says, that as long as you're part of the Jewish people, you accept that covenant, which in my estimation is what the Rambam means when he says that you believe in the 13 principles of the faith. Because all the Torah is important. Why are these 13 things more important than the rest of the Torah? Right? Shabbos is not one of the 13 principles, right? Neither is Yom Kippur. The principles are believing in one God, believing in God, believing in the fact that God is not a body, the believing that he's first and last, that he, what's it called, only him should you pray to, believing in the prophets, believing in the prophecy of Moshe and the Torah is divine, believing in reward and punishment, believing in the fact that God knows everything and that Mashiach will come and there'll be a Tchias HaMesim. Why are they more important than the rest of the Torah? But they're not. But those are the foundations of the covenant. So as long as you accept that relationship with God, which is represented by these 13 things, you could do sins. You'll be punished for them. But you're still part of the Jewish people, and as part of the Jewish people, you're eternal. Eternal in this world as a people, and eternal that you got to share in the world to come. If you don't believe in these 13 things, even if you keep mitzvahs, but you're not part of the covenant, you've separated yourself, or you separate yourself from the Jewish people, physically, right, conceptually, then you don't have that, you're not part of that eternal people, and therefore lose your share in the world to come. That's what the Rambam says, and I think that's what it means. And that's why it says that somebody who says, when he hears this covenant, and he gives it lip service, and he accepts it, but in his heart he says, Shalom yiyeli ki bishirus libi elech, I'll be okay, and I'm not going to be part of this covenant. Everything will be fine with me, and I'll do whatever I want. I'm not accepting the covenant. I'm not part of this bris. I'm not part of this people. I'm for myself, and everything will be okay with me. Then l'yovah Hashem, God won't forgive him, and he'll be cut off completely. Because you only have a share in the world to come, and you only have a guarantee of eternity if you're part of the Jewish people. So if you don't accept the bris, you're not part of the bris, then you lose that. And you lose that. And that then there's no slicha. And that's why it says that such a person gets punished not only for the acts he does intentionally. He gets punished even for unintentional sins. Because unintentional sins and intentional sins are only a difference if you accept that you're responsible. I accept the fact that I'm part of this covenant. So then if I do something intentionally, it's worse than if I do it unintentionally. But if I don't accept the covenant altogether, then it makes no difference why I'm doing the thing that's wrong. Basically, I don't accept the responsibility. So what difference does it make if I did it on purpose or I did it by accident? It all basically boils down to the fact that I'm not part of all of this. So then you get punished equally for the intentional and unintentional. And that's why this Sedra always separates between last week's Sedra and Rosh Hashanah. We always read Nitzavim or Nitzavim Vayelech before Rosh Hashanah. Why? It says to separate between the calamities that we were warned against happening in Kisavo, right, the Tochacha, the rebuke, and Nitzavim separates it. We don't want to have Rosh Hashanah right next to all those rebukes. What's the idea? Because this puts it into perspective. Because if you have Rosh Hashanah right after Kisavo, you could think that God's out to get you. But it's not true. God's not out to get you. He made a covenant with you. And all that rebuke isn't to destroy you, just the opposite. It's to make sure that you're preserved. And sometimes, in order to preserve a child, you have to patch him. You have to have, what's it called? Mean love? No. Right? Tough love. That's what it is. The Rebbe Shalom loves us. And he made a bris with us. And it's because he wants to maintain that eternity that sometimes he has to deal with us very tough. Because if not, he could just forget about us. That's it. Forget it, and you'll disappear from history like many other nations did. But he won't let that happen because he has a covenant with us. And therefore, he has to sometimes take very, very strong, tough measures to ensure that eternity. So once you have Nitzavim separating between Kisavo and Rosh Hashanah, you understand Kisavo in the right perspective, then you understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Yeah, God's going to judge us. But it's never going to abrogate that relationship as long as we're part of the bris, as long as we're part of the covenant. And that is, I think, an idea in tshuva. Tshuva has, I regret doing the sin, I confess it, but there's another aspect of tshuva, I have to commit myself not to do it again. And what's the purpose of that commitment? I'm not allowed to do sins. So if I ate a ham sandwich, and I regret doing it, and I do tshuva, why do I have to sell the rebbe? I'm not going to do it again. I don't have to get up every morning and say, I'm not eating a ham sandwich today. Just because I did it once doesn't mean I can do it again. So why do I have to make a commitment? But the idea is that every time I sin, to a certain degree, it's an abrogation of the bris. I'm to a certain degree, right, abrogating that covenant in a small way. So I have to reaccept the covenant of myself and make a commitment. I won't do it again. Every year, Yom Kippur, we enter the covenant again as a people and renew that covenant. That's the tshuva of Yom Kippur. I'm re-accepting the entire bris, the covenant, the responsibility, the relationship with God. Just doing mitzvahs or not doing mitzvahs and getting punished or reward has no relationship. It's a very distant kind of thing. But the bris makes it a close relationship where we're God's people, He's our God, and within that framework is the reward and the punishment. It's a completely different thing, because then, ultimately, the eternity wins out. Our eternity of Olam Haba and the eternity of the Jewish people. And that's why the Rosh Hashanah is the judgment of us as human beings that God created, and Yom Kippur is the bris that He made with the Jewish people. One is our individual judgment, the other is Klal Yisrael. It's a different entity. We're not individuals anymore, we're part of a corporation called Klal Yisrael. And that's why the bris includes many different aspects. There's the bris with the avos. That is the essential foundation of the Jewish people, is our avos. So the bris starts with the avos. God made this relationship with the avos and continues it on with all their generations. So it starts with a covenant with the avos. And then there's bris milah. Bris milah shows that God is intricately, intrinsically involved with us. In our flesh, we carry God's sign. So the Jewish people, in their essence, have a relationship with God. That's what bris milah represents. And then the bris on Eretz Yisrael. Because the place that we can be, one united nation, is Eretz Yisrael. Mikamcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Eretz Yisrael gives us that unity in place. So the bris includes Eretz Yisrael. There's a covenant concerning the land of Israel. Then there's the bris of Shabbos. Shabbos makes the covenant intellectual, belief-wise. We all believe in God, believe in the fact that He created the world, and that's God's bris concerning Shabbos. It unites us in belief, in intellect. And then there's the Torah. The Torah is the neshama of the Jewish people. It unites us spiritually. So we have a bris on with our avos, which makes the Jewish people one from its inception till the end. The bris of milah, which shows that the essence of the Jew is connected to God. Every Jew, individually, his essence is connected to God through the avos, through what's it called, the Klal Yisrael. And then the land unites us into one people. That's Brisa Oretz. And then Shabbos unites us intellectually and belief-wise. And Torah unites us in every possible way. Those are all the components of the bris. And Amir Tzashem, if we understand that, and we end the year by strengthening our understanding that it's not just a matter that we have to keep what God said. Do it, don't do it, reward, punishment, it's much more than that. It's a relationship with God. And that relationship is as part of the Jewish people. Then we'll become more stronger, our relationship with the Jewish people, connect ourselves with others, connect ourselves to the people. And that way we gain eternity, both as a people in this world and eternity spiritually in the next world. That's what this bris is all about.